I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Clay Anderson on the hotline right now, retired astronaut, over 160 days in space, and SpaceX and NASA kicking ass last weekend.
So much fun to watch, and I'm such a fan of the space program and have since the beginning of it. You know, so much so that, you know, I traveled all the way to Moscow to go to that space museum. But the idea is 167 days, more than that, six EVAs, close to 40 hours outside in space, outside of the vehicle. It's an unbelievable thing to think you exited the vehicle in space for your EVA and tethered and just out there. And I have so many questions with him, man, because he's got to be excited too, because that rocket, that thing was sexy.
Yeah, everything was good.
Born February 23rd in Ashland, Nebraska, a graduate of both Hastings College and Iowa State University, he was selected as an astronaut candidate by NASA in 1998, serving for 15 years, spending 167 days in space and going on multiple spacewalks, as well as serving on the Aquarius Underwater Laboratory. He released a book, A is for Astronaut, and has a new book, Letters from Space, coming out later this year. And today he's here to talk about the recent historic SpaceX manned flight to the International Space Station. Please welcome Clayton Anderson.
Hey Clay, how have you been, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
You know what? In this weird, ridiculous world, sad, angry, and frustrated, the one thing that I've been really excited about was SpaceX and NASA getting together and sending that mission back up to the International Space Station.
Yeah, me too. I think we kind of needed it.
Yeah.
And we need more of it.
Wasn't that great? Like, to see that the rocket looked great. I think it was exciting for people to see. Hell, man, even their spacesuits, or I guess it would be their flight suits. What would you refer that to? Because that was not the one you would wear, obviously, to go outside for an EVA. What would that would be called, what they were wearing when they took off?
Well, we typically called it an as-an-entry spacesuit. So, you know, to go up and come home, you have one suit. And then to go on a spacewalk, you have a different kind of suit. And then if you fly in the Russians' vehicle, they have different suits for the same idea, right? An ascent, an up and down suit, and then they have their space suit, and then you have water survival suits that you have to get in the Russians. So there's lots of different suits, but the basic intent is you wear one to go up and come home, and then you wear a different one to go outside.
And they looked killer, like stormtroopers.
Yeah, I was pretty jealous, Not to mention the fact that they're on a brand new rocket and a brand new space capsule with all the modern conveniences. So they're in a Tesla 2020 Roadster.
Yes.
And I got to go up in a 1972 Ford pickup.
Well, there's no replacement for displacements, though. You went up the hard way, my friend. You know,
yeah. I'll just tell everybody it's because I was old and a veteran, and you know, that's how we used to do it. We walked to school both ways.
That's right.
The snow and
it was a vintage rocket.
Yeah,
you and it is incredible to see. And now we have such great connectivity that everything was so clear, and you could watch it all, and you could see it. And the idea: what were they moving? 12,000 miles an hour when they had to? Then they had to sync it up, and then dock, and then pressurize.
Well, to stay in orbit, you have to be going about 17,500 miles per hour, but. When you get close to the space station, all that's relative, right? Because everybody's traveling the same speed. So, the vehicle worked perfectly. It's automated, right? So, even I could have done it.
It really is an incredible thing to see. And then you start to understand these guys are living up there. And you did 167 days in space, six EVAs. And you and I touched on this last time we spoke. If you're just here, astronaut Clayton Anderson, retired USA NASA astronaut and genuine hero. When the first time you opened that hatch, and were you completely alone when you did your first EVA, or was it you and a partner?
It was me and a Russian cosmonaut named Fyodor Yurchikhin, and the two of us went outside for about 7 hours and 41 minutes.
And I just have so many questions. Like, how do you even stay? How do you put up with the temperature? I mean, out there, so people understand, in space, what is the temperature?
Well, inside, when I was there, I guess it was about 72 degrees inside.
Right.
And about 55% humidity and slight breeze out of the south. It was very, very comfortable. I know that when Peggy Whitson came with 3 weeks to go in my increment, she thought it was too cold, and she cranked it up a little bit to make it warmer. It was a huge difference to me. It was really amazing, yes, how noticeable it was, especially when I slept.
Now, the EVA, if you were outside without your suit, what's that temperature just outside the skin of the International Space Station?
Well, it's, you know, roughly 250 degrees, or no, now I'm gonna do a brain fart. I think it's like 250 above zero in the sun,
mm-hmm,
and 250 below zero when the sun goes behind the Earth.
Isn't that crazy?
It's pretty big temperature, yeah, extreme.
Yeah, and it's you go out for 7 hours, and you're they've got every moment accounted for, correct? There's no time to stop for a minute, really, and look around, or is there?
Well, on a spacewalk, it's not quite as tedious. So, you know, if you're going to do task A, you're going to replace this box. They've allowed a certain amount of time based on practice runs in the pool in Houston, but they throw in a little bit of tolerance in case you run into an issue or something happens. So you don't overload the timeline with stuff. So maybe you have three or four big tasks, and then you have a get-ahead task list that says if you work through everything expeditiously and smoothly and you have time at the end of your spacewalk, there are other things you can do to help other crews get ahead so that when they go outside, they don't have to do some certain things. They can move on and get more accomplished. So a lot of planning goes into that process.
What's that moment, though, if you can remember back to the very first EVA, when you realized I'm looking through just my face shield at my home that's so far away, not even through from the inside of the International Space Station, the inside of a capsule, but only through the face shield on your helmet. That's all that's separating you and all those thousands and thousands of miles. It's. Do you remember what you were thinking?
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget. It was July 23rd, 2007, and I had opened the hatch and locked it in place, and so I'm looking through about a three-foot diameter hole, and I see pitch black because the sun was behind the Earth, so it was nighttime in space. And the only thing I could see was ice crystals coming from the back of my spacesuit where my quote-unquote air conditioning unit was. And the delta pressure, the difference in pressure between the small pressure that was left in the airlock hatch and the zero vacuum of outer space caused those icicles to shoot from my back to the blackness of space and just disappear. It was the coolest thing ever. And as I'm floating in that airlock, looking at the black with my hand, a couple fingers holding the handrail, all I could think of was that I was born to be here right now doing this.
That's the greatest. I mean, I just nothing but goosebumps, man, and admiration and jealousy. It's, yeah. You know, for a kid from Nebraska growing up, and how old were you when you decided you wanted to, this is what you wanted?
I remember I was 9. My mom would tell you that I was 6 years old and that she and I discussed how I would become an astronaut one day. So I don't remember that, but she does.
And then the last time that you made an EVA, did you realize it was going to be the last most likely?
Yeah, I figured it was. I'd had a pretty good run, and I'd been told that I would never fly on the space station again because I didn't have the temperament for long duration and that they had better choices than me. But since the shuttle was still flying, they found a way to get me on a shuttle because I was a pretty good spacewalker, and we went out and did those three EVAs. But at the end of the whole mission, I figured I was going to be done, even though I went back later and asked if I could get in line to fly again, and they told me no again, so that's when I retired.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, going back to you didn't have the temperament, you tell me that you lit somebody up at the space station?
I probably lit more than one person. You know, I was born and raised in Nebraska, and so I speak the truth. And you know, when you ask me something, I'm going to tell you how I see it. And if you don't like it, you know, well, that's your issue. But I'm not going to blow smoke up your skirt. That's for sure.
That's a fact, man. Listen, you don't get to those places, and also you know, skirting issues in dangerous situation is what gets people killed.
Yeah, absolutely, it sure can. And fortunately for me, none of the dust-ups that I had were life and death, but they were all about efficiency and living and working in space. And imagine you live in your home and you know where everything is, and somebody in, you know, California or Idaho is calling you on the phone and telling you got to move this and do that and do this. And you say, hey, look, everything's good where I'm at.
Right.
They insist that you have to do it. So it can be very frustrating, but
you know,
I should have had more tolerance.
Even back to the Apollo days, even all the depictions, movies, and documentaries, it does show a great deal of back and forth between those men in space and then the let's just call them eggheads back at control. And you could, they're always depicted the frustration between the two.
Yeah, and they're pretty smart eggheads back in
Houston.
Sure. But, you know, I read a book called Leaving Earth before I flew in space, and it was about space stations and the quote-unquote Skylab mutiny and things like that. So I kind of knew what could happen, and some people told me what could happen. But I don't like to play that game where I'm going to act like I'm happy all the time.
That's right.
And then, you know, bitch privately somewhere else. I had to get it out there.
It's unhealthy.
In front of everybody, because I wanted everybody to understand what was going on.
See, this is the thing that I love, because we are just humans exploring, trying to figure it out. That is it's big by space standards, but by what we understand, it's very small. You know, if you can think of a very small apartment with many people, little tiny compartments, you know, it's a lot. And that's what I love so much about us continuing on into space. And I don't know how long it'll take to make a rocket that'll propel us where we want to go, what we're going to do. But I know that it's exciting. And hell, I'm even glad to see those crazy bastards. Did you see that they felt like some of the footage got deleted off the launch because there was something moving on the surface of the moon? Have you seen that video yet?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Of course, something goes by, debris, trash. I don't know what it was, but it has to be a UFO to some people. And I'm like, good. At least we're having, I don't even care if it's not right. At least it's exciting to talk about for those guys.
That's for sure. And that's, you know, you want to inspire people back here on Earth. And think about the small quarters when you're going to travel 6 to 9 months just to get to Mars and all that sort of thing. I'm sure the spaceship will be bigger, but, you know, that's a long time to be cooped up with people when you can't even see your planet Earth anymore.
No. And this is why I'm so glad that you are writing a children's book called Letters from Space. That's the one you put out in 2020. And A is for Astronaut.
Yes, both are Sleeping Bear Press is the publisher. A is for Astronaut has been hugely popular. And so we're following it up with Letters from Space, which is a great book. It's a perfect children's book. It's got a wonderful illustrator from Budapest, Hungary named Susan Battery. And so we're very excited. I just hope we don't have to release it virtually. I hope I can get to go and see people and shake their hands and sign their books in person.
We will. We'll get there. It's just people have to pay. Again, it's like anything else. Hey, man, I can't argue about it anymore. Science is science. Do what you got to do. Pay attention. Get right. You know, it's...
Amen.
Yeah. And I tell you, I'm watching this and I was looking at that because I keep kind of going back and forth in my head because I have so many questions, Clayton, and I know we have limited time, but... You know, this idea that this Elon Musk comes along with a great team of people, and the first time I watched him land a goddamn rocket back on the pad, and it worked, I was like, what did I just watch? And then he did it in the ocean. Was your head just going, mind blown, this is the craziest thing?
Well, I tell people all the time, don't bet against Elon Musk, and I think that the thing I like about he and SpaceX is they bring a cautious aggression to the development process, right? He's like Bill Gates with all his young guys working for him up in Washington when Microsoft was the thing, right? When they were busting down every wall and developing all this new cool stuff and doing all this amazing things. And now Elon's doing it in the space world in a similar environment. And these young, intelligent people that are working for him are just, they're not afraid to try new things and to take risk. And now you have to be cautious and you have to be careful and safe. But, man, I like the aggressiveness he brings to the design process and trying to do things that other people haven't ever done.
Well, and nobody melts down in a failure. Failure reveals imperfection, and that gets fixed. It makes it safe.
Right, and that's what people have to understand. And, you know, Lord knows we don't want him to have any failures from here on out.
Right.
But space flight is dangerous, it's difficult, and it costs dollars. So those are Clay's three Ds of space flight.
You're so correct, and I'm so glad we're doing this again because it speeds up the process. I think all of his ideas are incredible. I'm so glad that you're still doing interviews and you're doing these children's books and you're still a huge part of this legend and, you know, of the handful of people that have ever known what it's like to be in the positions you were in. And again, it's always an honor to have you on the show. I'm just a genuine fan. And like I told you before, you get to Kansas City, everything's on me.
You betcha. And thank you for those kind words. And I am honored to be a small part of this. And by the way, your boy Bankin and Hurley, they didn't have to go learn Russian. They got to do it all in English.
Yeah, that's a fact. Dude, I'll tell you, you know, I got to ask you this. I'm watching the entire thing, the docking, and the commander on there, I can't remember his name, Chris, maybe?
Chris Cassidy.
Yes. He kept wanting to go to the, get off the battery and go to the encoder for his connection, and he wasn't letting it go, and I was listening to him and Houston go back and forth and back and forth, and I'm like, choose a side. Were you watching the same thing I was?
I didn't see that. I'm going to have to go back and try to find that because, you know, those are the type of things that I got into with them, and you know, I got in trouble for it. Now, Chris was the former head of the astronaut office, so he probably has way more slack than I did.
You'll find it amusing because it goes for 15 minutes back and forth. And they're like, oh, we copy that. Now we're going to go ahead and choose to stay the way we are. And he's like, but I'm telling you, I can do it in less than a minute. We can plug it back in the encoder, and then we can go back to a hardware. And they're like, we understand and hear what you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, holy cow, what am I watching right now?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
People in Idaho are trying to tell you how to run your house.
Yeah, and, that's right. That's right. Listen, you hire people to be great, and then you let them be great. And that's what you did. Clayton Anderson, retired USA NASA astronaut, 160 days in space, multiple missions, all of them successful, man. And it's again, when the book comes out, when you get to Kansas City, it'll be great to catch up.
You betcha. I'll look forward to it.
See you, brother. Nice cat.
He's so just laid back in his demeanor, even though he's got all those smarts in his head.
Have you noticed that the guys we always connect to are the ones with a problem with authority?
I don't find that there's a pattern here at all.
The Richard Marcinkos, you know?
But he's right. It's like, if you believe in me, don't ask me the question if you don't want the answer.
That's right. And hey, by the way, I'm here because I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'd love nothing more than this to go wrong. Said not him ever.
Well, that's the one thing I learned about, and you learned about radio. You can do what you think and know you're supposed to do, and that's how you survive in this business. Or you listen to some jackoff, no offense, Bob, in an office.
Hey, you, Bob.
And because if they could do it, they would. Mm. So here I am. I'm going to go ahead and do what I do.
Yeah, I'm not here to justify your employment. I'm here to get some other things done.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
But that's what I'm telling you. I remember I told you about the guy arguing about the battery and the encoder.
Yes. I think he'll enjoy that from what you described watching.
Yes, it's exactly that.
But God, he's so just approachable, every guy, even though he's so not ever, he's one in a million, you know?
He would be one of those half bottle away from telling you great everything. Like, I may not even take that at all. He may just go ahead and...
And I say all these things as a complete compliment. Like,
absolutely.
When you're around people that are in certain fields, you worry, okay, are they going to be too uptight? Are they going to be too, you know, heads book smart? You know, just not approachable. Not him.
Every guy I've ever felt comfortable around in terms of following, mm-hmm. if you do want a leader, is always the guy. I always look at the guy and go, how's he handle stuff? You do it the way he knows is right. I watched one too many people in my life get fired after listening to the boss tell them what to do. And doing it and then getting smoked. I was like, sadly, and we both know him, we love him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a mistake on his part, but we used to call that getting McGinty'd.
Yeah.
Because he as a great employee and a great human being and a great programmer, He was great. Everything about him, I could not have loved him more. But they forced him to do something, and he was like, it won't work, but I'll do it. And then when it didn't work.
Yeah, that's the, again, go with your gut.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, go with your gut.
Yeah, and in the end, you know who Clayton reminds me of is Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe he called Clayton a coward or a liar about going up in space. It'll work just like he did for the guy with Buzz Aldrin.
You're the one who said you walked on the moon when you didn't. Calling a kettle black, if I ever thought of it. Saying I misrepresented myself.
Away from me.
You're a coward and a liar and a thief.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.